Welcome to the Taylor Tax Show podcast. We are here to help highly paid, highly taxed, and high profile taxpayers save a bunch on your taxes legally. When you follow our podcast, you will know how to make sure that the more you make, the less they take. Folks, welcome back to the Taylor Tax Show. This is episode 28. Retirement planning, the international angle. I'm Terrence Taylor, the co-founder of Taylor Tax, and this podcast is for highly paid, highly taxed, high profile, high net worth, and ultra high net worth taxpayers who want to save a bunch on taxes legally and perennially. My partner, Big Al Donnell Jr. How you doing today, Big Al?
What's going on, everybody? All is well. How about you, sir?
I'm pretty good. I want to know, you still love your mama or what happened?
Come on, man. Like all day. Yeah. I'm crazy about my mama.
I know you are.
And my daughters and my family. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Cool. So today we're going to look at four aspects of retirement planning and taxes when it comes to the international angle. So we'll look at things like income shifting, international trusts, international organizations, and for those who are able to set it up, the ability to have income tax-free countries as a place where you earn income. So Big Al, when we did this particular series, initially we planned only three.
Yeah.
And then the more we spoke about it, we realized we were leaving out a bunch of things that would be good information for folks to have to put into their arsenal as they think about how to plan for their retirement and how to do the tax planning for their retirement. And folks, let's do our disclaimer up front. We're sharing with you information. If you want to use anything that you hear on this podcast, you must, we beg you, we implore you, please consult with a qualified tax professional. And some of you may even want to consult with a retirement planning specialist before implementing anything you heard here. Of course, if you want to talk to us, we're both qualified tax professionals. We're enrolled agents. And you can reach us at either Terrence@TaylorTax.ai or BigAl@TaylorTax.ai. But Big Al, let's jump right into it. This is one of the subjects that you particularly had a lot of energy for. So let me kick it over to you to see where do you want us to start this conversation?
Well, I'll tell you this. I want to start it off with income shifting. Primarily because it can happen at every level. Now, mind you, this is the fourth level. It's a bonus level that we threw in here just to kind of help some of those prospects, clients, just viewers, fans that are at a much higher level. We're talking about $100 million or more that of net worth that they're looking to make sure that they can protect and pass on and so forth. So from an income shifting standpoint, all that means is that we're trying to shift income tax at a higher rate to an entity where it could be taxed at a lower rate. A small example is shifting, you know, parents that are high earning parents, having them pay their children, and even not just paying them up to the standard deduction, but paying them much more than that, just because when the children file a tax return, their tax return is still gonna, their marginal rate might still be under 20%, whereas their parents' marginal rate is over 37%. Now, mind you, everything's legal that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. They have to make sure that they're paying their children for actual work that's being done. And we always talk about when it comes to taxes, it's all about documentation.
That's right.
First and foremost, when you got children, guess what you got to do? You got to spend money on them. The thing is that absolutely none of that money has to come from papa and mama for free. It can all be earned. Yeah. And the kids can pay for their own thing. So now, if you heard of the statistic of hey, what's the lifetime cost of having a child? And the lifetime cost of having a child might be $435,000, I heard one person say. You know, when people be making stuff up, they just say, I heard somebody say, but I heard Kevin Samuels say that. You know, that's another divisive type of character. But, you know, God bless the dead. And now, I'll say $435,000 over their lifetime, which means over that 18 years, you know, you're paying them well over $40,000 to $50,000 or paying that type of cost. Now, if you think about it, if you pay your child $50,000 and you've got three or four children, two or more children, then what we're talking about is you can shift $50,000 to $200,000 if you have four children to your children, which each one of them are only going to be taxed at what, the 20% tax bracket, less than 22% tax bracket. And then, of course, if since you're paying them, let's just say you're paying them as their small business and they're going to have business expenses associated with that, which could further reduce it. So anyways, that was a quick example of income shifting. Now let's jump back into the higher level where we're talking to those that have the hundreds of millions of dollars or that are planning on having the hundreds of millions of dollars in their coffers, in their businesses, et cetera, et cetera. It's primarily from a business standpoint. And what that means is that there are countries that you can headquarter your company in so that the company that so that the income taxes are, there's no zero taxes or zero income taxes in that particular country. I was given Terrence the example that that let's just say with Taylor Tax, currently we're doing business with almost with tons of countries all around the world, but our primary location is in the US currently. However, there have been conversations and talks about us expanding and having a location in Africa. All right. Not gonna tell you which country in Africa just yet, but it's in between two or three of them. All right. But so now I gave them the example of, let's just say if we started another location in Greece or Italy, all right, or Portugal, one of these countries that don't have that much income taxes. But it would not need to be a U.S. company. It would need to be a company in whatever that country is that has no income taxes. All the money can shift to that company because that company could charge the U.S. subsidiary a percentage of whatever we bring in as a fee to pay them, which then effectively takes away a significant portion of our profits, so on and so forth for the African country, African subsidiary. And now the profits, the primary profits globally built up are now showing up in a country that has no taxes. Now, the thing is that why do we only suggest this for much higher, ultra high net worth clients and clients that with much larger businesses is because there are tons of risks, absolutely an enormous amount of legal risks, international risks. And then we also have currency and currency conversion risks. There's so many risks that are associated with this particular strategy that you have to make sure that you make enough money and have enough money to shift to even substantiate or qualify doing it because of those risks. But yeah, so that's primarily the idea behind income shifting. What are your thoughts, my man?
First of all, I love the explanation, Big Al. It makes me remember conversations even in business school, right? All those years ago, back in 1996, 97, about tax arbitrage, right? So that's the whole idea that there are different tax jurisdictions all around the world, and even domestically, that's the case as well in terms of states that have income tax, states that don't. And the whole idea is if you are able to plan your tax affairs, and this is the most important thing, folks, plan your tax affairs so you do this legally, you can shift income, some of the income, all of the income, depending on what the realities of your business are and what you're able to document and comply with in terms of the tax requirements. So when you shift the income appropriately, then you're reducing your taxes potentially significantly. And there are countries, which is what I want to get to next, Big Al, where if you work in those countries as an individual, and then sometimes even as businesses, there is no income tax. Correct. So Big Al, you read this list to me, so it blew me away. So I don't know if you still have it like readily available. Okay, cool. If you will, let's travel a little bit during the Taylor Tax Show podcast. What countries should we go to? Well, we definitely want to go to countries that are tax friendly, right?
100%.
There we go. Love that. So look at that, folks. So you can read faster than I can talk, but some of the ones that jump out at me, because I love my continent of Africa, Somalia. Now, people are like, why would hell would you go to Somalia, right? Because the news that we know about Somalia is just about warlords and all that stuff. Well, one reason could be like it doesn't have any income taxes, right? And then, okay, you want to be a little bit more like South Africans would say cheese boyish. So these are like folks who have money, right? So we might say bougie in the U.S. Well, Monaco, look at that, right? And for those who are interested in more of an island flavor, well, you got quite a few to choose from, right? You got the Bahamas, you got Bermuda, you got the Maldives, you got St. Kitts and Nevis, right? And I remember always watching the Olympics, and there was a sprinter from St. Kitts and Nevis who used to run the 100 meters. And of course, now his name escapes me, but like I always thought about St. Kitts and Nevis. Yeah, I think even Anguilla is an island, right?
Yep.
Antigua and Barbuda. So quite a number. And what about Panama? Like maybe you want to go a little bit more Latin flavor. So you got Panama, you got Nicaragua, right? So quite a number. Anyway, folks, you want to go Middle Eastern, you got Bahrain, you got Oman, you got Kuwait, right? I don't see it. Yeah, you have the United Arab Emirates. So quite a number. You want to go Asian, you got Vanuatu. I'm missing any others. But, you know, folks, you get the picture. So this list got us very excited because we talk often about how to structure your tax affairs so you don't pay taxes. So if you think about retirement planning and taxes for your retirement, imagine being able to make income in countries where you are not going to be taxed on that income. And that helps you then to not have to pay taxes on your retirement as well. Hi, Big Al.
100%. And to jump on that is that a lot of people use Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks and HSAs and all these different accounts in order to have tax-free growth and also tax-free withdrawals, all right? Mm-hmm. However, these accounts have limitations. Mm-hmm. If you switch from an account to a country, then there are no limitations. That's once again why we're suggesting this only on these larger net worth companies and individuals. Because here's the thing, the kicker is it's just not, hey, just move to the Bahamas and you don't have to pay taxes. You're literally going to have to expatriate from the United States of America, become a Bahamian citizen or a citizen of the Maldives or wherever else, the UAE, and then you'll have no taxes on the income that you're making. So, and there are very strict specifications in order to do that. So it's, and it's not cheap and it's not for the faint of heart and it's a commitment that you're making for quite some time. Now let's talk about those that might not want to make that strong or that heavy of a commitment. Then there's other things that, called a golden visa. And let me, show you that.
And while you're looking up the golden visa, Big Al, the other thing to consider is you may not need to repatriate. You could set up a company that's domiciled in these location, in this country. So a company that's located in these countries. Yeah, tell us about the golden visa countries.
Yeah, so with the golden visa situation is that you don't have to completely expatriate and lose your U.S. citizenship in order to gain a passport in a foreign country. You can literally invest, donate and buy into a residency into a foreign country. And then once you have that residency, then boom, you can, it's much easier to set up other entities and aspects of forming trusts and forming other organizations out there. And by doing so, that's another way to shift income from a high taxed country, the U.S., to a low-taxed country, be it Italy or Portugal or Spain or Turkey. So,
St. Kitts is there as well. So St. Kitts is on both lists.
Yeah.
So, amazing. So Spain?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So these are concepts to think about and to use, or that we also explore when it comes to strategies. You know, we have clients that are at this level that we're talking about. And with that, there is, we have had to open up conversations and have attorneys enter the conversation surrounding where is the best country to hold your trust? What are the best designations for how you're going to be earning income from your business? Whether or not your spouse is a member of a different country or a current country, and making sure that all obligations, all tax obligations and obligations of compliance individually with your country and their tax system, as well as with your business and its tax system, are all in place. So, so these are just things that we wanted to make sure that we considered, and in the aspect of this level four of tax savings for retirement through, tax savings through retirement, but mainly from an international level. During that retirement phase, you might not need to be in the big metropolis like New York, the Bay, Dallas, Fort Worth, Atlanta, it's Chicago, it's at a DC. You might want to kick back in Bermuda, all right? And then visit the US when you want to, especially if you're making tens of millions of dollars a year. That's no cost at all, comparatively speaking. So any other thoughts, Terrence?
Well, just to close out, like, this is a wild one that I shared with Big Al. I worked for a company that is designated as an international organization. And folks, when I told Big Al about this, he was like a kid during Christmas morning, opening up all kinds of presents. Like, he dug deep, went to the IRS, learned the code, learned what this is all about. But bottom line it for you, there are companies that are organizations that are set up via treaties, tax treaties. So the president has to get involved in this designation. So we want to just be clear that this is not something that is accessible to everyone, but certainly is doable. There are organizations that have done this, and we have at least one or two clients that we believe are at that level where they could possibly do this. But the bottom line is, when you get international organization status, then as an organization, you don't pay taxes, including income taxes. Like, there's a bunch of different taxes that your company then becomes exempt from, including value-added tax in those countries that have value-added tax, right? Sales tax and all kinds of stuff. This is the ultimate, right? So imagine being at the level where you are able to have the conversation, have advisors, have people who can structure the application for international organization status, and then two countries agree or multiple countries agree that you don't have to pay taxes as an organization, which also means that the employees who work for you, because this is how I benefited during those years as an employee, then I didn't have to pay taxes in that country that I was working in, because I was working for an international organization. All right, folks, we could go on. I mean, we could wax lyrical, but Big Al, let me give you a chance to close us out. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, I tell you this, I think the full ascendancy, that top level of the pyramid, you know, when your Maslow's hierarchy of needs or whatnot, or actualization is literally having an organization that pays no taxes. You know, all up until you told me about that, I thought that self-actualization from a tax perspective component was like a nonprofit organization, because as we all know, nonprofit organizations operate just like for-profit organizations. We just hope that they're actually doing the good that they're saying that they're doing. But there's so many ways, just because of what we've seen in our time in the business, where if you're running a billion-dollar NGO or nonprofit, you can still benefit as if you're a billionaire yourself, even though you don't pay yourself a billion and the company is a nonprofit. So, but as Terrence and I were just talking about, is that OpenAI is talking about leaving or converting from a nonprofit organization to a for-profit organization, and they're probably going to be going public. So all the stuff that we're talking to you about, it's not going to be easy, but it's not impossible. And each higher level that you go, the level of complexity and the level of risks is going to get higher, but your level of resources is going to open those doors and that give you that access to do it if you want to. But we just want to make sure that we seed and plant a seed that these options are out there so that you can even think about or have this conversation with your tax professional or with us about how best to do it as you're approaching that that income level, that net worth level. But yeah, that's it for me, man.
Okay. Folks, hey, thank you so much for listening to us. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you soon.
Cheers. Well, make sure that you follow us and subscribe on YouTube and any other platform that good podcasts show up on.